Chapter 2, Moving On and Letting Go. Another day, another problem. What is life, after all, but a challenge? Warren Spahn. A month and a half later, after the barbecue, Brian had finally found a place for himself. It was the kind of place that matched Brian's personality. A small dusky room with not much furniture around. Just a mattress and a side table, a hollow room filled with darkness. The good thing was that, now, Brian would not be able to spread as much hate as he tried to do all the time whilst living with Hassan and friends. So, things at the Pryor household had started to normalize. Hassan, on the other hand, had to deal with another co-worker, Daniel. Daniel was a young man in his early 30s. He was fairly white with blonde hair and looked like he was always in a hurry. He would start twitching when he was not moving around. It seemed like he was extremely anxious, as he would always be doing something. He could never sit somewhere peacefully. It was a bright sunny day and Hassan was feeling all the vibes to have a productive day at the office. He was feeling good and confident. His love life was progressing significantly. His relationship with Kara had become even better than before, given that Kara was now much more content in her life having Kyle around. The best thing was that Brian had moved out, so there was not much room for negativity left in Hassan's life. Hassan was sorting through files at work when Ethan suddenly barged into his office. Ethan quickly noticed that Daniel was not in the office and so inquired about his whereabouts from Hassan. Hassan explained, the poor guy had to leave in a hurry, someone from his house had called and said there was an emergency. Ethan replied with a sympathetic tone, oh my. I hope everything is okay. Well, whenever he comes back, can you please ask him to come visit me in my office? Hassan agreed and dived right back into his files. After an hour, Daniel came back to the office in sweats as if he ran back to the office. I hope everything is okay, asked Hassan. Yeah, just the usual stuff. Hassan then informed Daniel that Ethan had asked him to come by. Daniel quickly made his way to Ethan's office and knocked on the door. Come in please, said Ethan in a disappointed tone. I asked you to work on a file a month ago and you haven't given me any updates on that. Daniel replied, I am sorry but I got caught up with some family issues, I planned on submitting it, don't worry I will get to it right away. Ethan shook his head in discontent and called Hassan to come into the office. Can you please assist Daniel in submitting this file? I need it urgently and I had asked Daniel to work on this a month ago but he didn't get the time for it. Daniel got disgruntled upon hearing this and intervened, why do I have to work with him? I can get it done on my own. Hassan tried to calm the situation by saying, if you need me for anything Daniel, please let me know. Daniel's aggravation increased and so he said, I had a family emergency but I have time now, I will finish it on time. I asked you to inform Ethan that I had to leave due to an emergency. Why didn't you tell him? Or do you not understand the concept of a family emergency given that your family just abandoned you? Ethan saw that the situation was getting out of hands and so he said, Daniel. You don't know what you are talking about, Hassan did inform me and. Hassan had heard enough and so he excused himself by saying, Ethan, thank you for considering me but I think I will pass on this one. If you need me for anything else, I will be in my office. An emotional roller coaster, one thing you can't hide, is when you're crippled inside. John Lennon. Hassan left the office with tears in his eyes, which he was fortunately able to hide from his co-workers. Ethan was extremely upset with Daniel but did not want to create a scene in front of Hassan, knowing that it would just make things worse. Since Hassan had left, Ethan continued with Daniel, what the hell was that? Why did you say such things? Do you even know what happened to his family? He lost them due to an explosion nearby their house which caused the whole house to collapse. They didn't just abandon him, he found him under the wreckage. They were buried alive. Daniel was not touched by the story and proceeded, I know you have a bias for him, you always take his side because he is your friend. For a moment, Ethan put his head down in sheer dismay and then said, yes, he is a friend but I am not here to take sides. We work as a team here and should act like one too. He is a team player and you should become one too. Nonetheless, you have until the end of this week to get the work done, and if you fail to do so, you will be facing consequences for your actions today. One more thing, please don't talk about personal issues at work. It is extremely unprofessional and downright unethical, especially the things you said to Hassan, they were very hurtful. Daniel apologized and promised to submit the file on time. Meanwhile, Hassan was in his office, quieter than ever. He even skipped lunch with his co-workers. As soon as his work finished, he rushed towards the elevator to head home. Ethan managed to catch Hassan just before leaving. He wanted to make sure if everything was okay with Hassan, hoping that he had not been offended by Daniel's words. Hassan did not want to burden Ethan with his issues and so told him that he was okay. Hassan left the building and the weather outside perfectly described how Hassan was feeling. The sky was filled with gray clouds with no room for sunshine. It was raining, everybody had their umbrellas out to cover themselves as if they were hiding, the same way Hassan was trying to hide how he felt. Hassan decided to walk in the rain hoping that the rain could wash away how he felt. As he was walking, he stopped and looked at the sky. It felt like the world was spinning around him, in slow motion. Suddenly, he felt an excruciating pain in his chest as if someone had stabbed him in his heart. He sat down on the footpath to catch his breath. After a few minutes of resting, he walked to the nearest subway, completely drenched in the rain, and was on his way home. As soon as he arrived, he jumped into the shower. Afterwards, to keep his mind off the things he had been thinking about all day, he engaged himself in cleaning the house. John had also just arrived and noticed Hassan cleaning the house rigorously. He knew something was wrong and so he asked him. Hassan told him that he was okay, but John stopped him from cleaning and saw that Hassan was breathing heavily with sorrow on his face. John understood that Hassan was not comfortable in talking about it and so decided not to antagonize him further. Instead, he hugged Hassan and said, "It's okay, I am here now." Upon hearing this, Hassan could not hold back his tears and so he grabbed John's shirt, put his head on his shoulder and started to weep away. John tried to stop Hassan from crying but failed to do so. He figured that something must have happened at work since he left in the morning with a positive attitude. He decided to call Ethan and explain what he had witnessed. Ethan promised to come right away. John stayed with Hassan to comfort him, not knowing what had happened. A friend in need is a friend indeed. They may forget what you said, but they will never forget how you made them feel. Carl W. Beekner. Ethan came to their house and John decided to take him upstairs to Hassan. Hassan was still crying even though a substantial amount of time had passed. Ethan said to Hassan, "Please don't cry, I hate seeing you like this." He sat next to Hassan and gave him a warm hug. "You know we are all here for you. Share with us whenever you are ready. We are all a family, aren't we? John, Kara and I will always be here for you. Please stop crying for us, you know how much we all love you." Hassan stopped his tears knowing that he did not want to hurt his loved ones from seeing him in this condition. Ethan asked John to take care of him as he started to depart. John kissed Hassan and asked him to stay in bed until he comes back after a chat with Ethan. John was able to catch Ethan at the door and asked what happened. Ethan explained that someone at work had brought up Hassan's family in a conversation. John got extremely angry at Ethan and asked him what he did to intervene. Ethan continued to explain, "I did what I could at the moment, I cannot fight with someone in a professional environment, but I did my best. I will make sure that nothing of the sort happens again." John replied, "Yeah, you should be careful with him, especially because you know what he has been through, but always remember, I am the one he loves, not you." Ethan got upset at this and said, "You cannot just cut me from his life like you did before. You loved him just to hurt me, sadly he fell in love with you. Now, if you ever hurt him like you hurt me, I will hunt you down." John defensively said, "What makes you think I will hurt him? I love him just as much as he loves me. I learned my lesson from what I did to you, but what I have with Hassan is completely different." "Wait, don't tell me, you are still in love with him, right? Ethan, with tears in his eyes, mumbled, I loved you. The love I have for him is different. I know I cannot have him now and have made my peace with that. I was very angry when you stole him from me, but I have never seen him smile the way he does with you. I just want the two of you to be happy. Ethan departed, leaving a lot on John's mind. All John could think about was how he hurt Ethan so much in the past. Thoughts about Hassan were also haunting him. He couldn't do anything to stop Hassan from crying. The image of Hassan crying was something he despised. A recurring nightmare, you learn to run from what you feel, and that's why you have nightmares. To deny is to invite madness. To accept is to control. Megan Chance at night, John and Hassan were watching YouTube videos together. Hassan accidentally put on an Arabic song which had a very sad tone to it. It was a black and white video which got stuck in John's mind, especially the dance sequence in it. There was a young boy and girl dancing slowly with a glass wall between them. Maybe it represented what John had felt when he wasn't able to stop Hassan from crying. A glass wall in between them, not allowing John to come close to Hassan. Afterward, the two cuddled in their bed and fell asleep. John had another one of his nightmares. This time he saw Hassan lying on a floor and the song that they were listening to was playing in the background. John took a hold of Hassan's hand and started dancing. Hassan started to turn away, but John grabbed him and held a knife against his throat. John started pushing Hassan towards a table where he rested him and started kissing him passionately. Hassan began to cry and to stop him, John raised the knife to stab Hassan but woke up to that horrifying image. He screamed Hassan's name, just as he woke up, and looked around to see Hassan was not in bed. John started to look for him but couldn't find him anywhere in the house. Suddenly, he remembered Hassan's man cave. Hassan would often go down to the basement where he would paint. The basement was very quiet and allowed Hassan's creativity to flow. John went to the basement where he found Hassan painting. He approached Hassan from the back and hugged him tightly. He whispered into Hassan's ear, "Let's go back to sleep, you know I have trouble sleeping when you're not there to hold me. Paint the pain away. Art enables us to find ourselves and lose ourselves at the same time." Thomas Merton. The next morning, Kara, John and Hassan were having breakfast. Hassan started asking how Kara felt about Kyle. Kara responded, "He is a lovely person to be with. He listens to me and treats me like a lady, but I am not looking to fill a void in my life. I know I might sound ungrateful, but I do not like the idea of being with someone just so they can help you move on." Hassan assured her that whatever came out of their relationship was her choice and that there was no pressure to be with Kyle if she did not feel like it. John informed the two that he will be going to Montreal for a few days because of his work. The two wished him the best for his trip and everybody went their own ways. Hassan and John left for work while Kara had to put some things down in the basement. As she was looking around the basement, her attention was caught by an extraordinary painting by Hassan. The painting was of a man with no facial features, as it looked like the face was brushed away. The man seemed to be screaming in pain. As Kara looked deeper and deeper into the painting, she was able to see Hassan's suffering in it. Kara was in disbelief as she thought of Hassan being extremely positive and happy all the time. She could now see the burdens he carries with him. There was a notebook next to the painting which Kara picked up immediately. It read, "Another painful memory that has been locked away. I don't feel like a part of this world anymore. I am stuck in the world of memories and I cannot escape it." Hassan's words had a deep impact on Kara. She felt the same way. However, as she saw the pain consuming Hassan, she decided to move on. To be the strength for those around her. She decided there had been enough suffering, pain, and dark thoughts. Kara left the basement with a new attitude towards life. At work, Hassan could feel the pain in his chest again. It was becoming very difficult for him to breathe, but he thought it would go away and continued to work. Meanwhile, Ethan was in his office looking at a picture of Hassan and him, thinking about the day they met. Ethan was returning back from his vacation in Turkey. Ethan had asked the flight attendant to change his seat as the person next to him was making a lot of noise. The flight attendant had moved him next to Hassan. Ethan was drinking water when he spilled it all over Hassan. He quickly apologized, but Hassan was not offended at all. He smiled and said it was perfectly fine. That smile captured Ethan's heart, like many others. Ethan asked for his contact details, and that is how the two became friends. Love is in the air. You know you're in love when you can't fall asleep because reality is finally better than your dreams. Dr. Seuss. Kyle wanted to text Kara but was not able to. He felt that Kara was not that into him. He did not want to seem too clingy, but he really liked Kara. He was afraid of being rejected as he felt vulnerable exposing himself again to the dating world. Luckily, he just received a text from Kara. She asked if he was free this evening and invited him to a restaurant. Kyle, without even thinking, said yes instantly. Kara wrote back, "I miss you." Kyle's heart just pumped out of his chest, but he took a hold of himself and replied back with, "I miss you too." Kyle had the biggest smile on his face now. He felt like he had just won $1 million. He started seeing Kara in everything, the bus driver, the florist, everywhere. Kyle was happy and he wasn't able to get off cloud nine. He didn't want to mess anything up and so called up Hassan for advice. Hassan told him to be himself and let the journey set its pace. Brian had left some of his stuff at Hassan's house, which he went to pick up. Hassan would always leave a key, in case of emergencies, under one of his plants. Kara had told Brian to come and take his stuff. Brian went into the basement as he had never seen it before. He saw the painting and went towards it. Brian, with tears in his eyes, spoke softly, "It's like you're in my mind, reading me. I have a lot of pain in me and you have captured that beautifully." Brian picked up his things and grabbed the painting as well. He put the painting in his passenger seat and drove away. The painting spoke to him and said more than words ever could. It sang to him and opened a way to his injured soul. He kept crying, the whole time he drove, looking at the painting. All he could think about was how Hassan had captured him perfectly. He now wanted Hassan more than ever. Kyle had arrived at the restaurant with a bouquet in his hands. He was wearing a black coat with a red sweater inside. He looked like he came for love. He asked for Kara as he entered the restaurant. A waiter took him to the VIP section. Then he saw Kara standing in a gorgeous blue dress, capturing the attention of everything around her. Kyle looked around, but there was only one table. Kara had reserved the section for the two of them. Kyle, finding it difficult to get words out of his mouth, said, "You look breathtaking." Kara replied whilst blushing, "You look quite charming as well. Here is your birthday gift." "Happy birthday, handsome." Kyle was sure that his birthday was a lot happier now. He approached Kara and kissed her gently. Kyle was still unsure about how Kara felt about him, and so he asked her, "You're a sweet guy. I wish more men were like you." Kyle replied disappointedly, "Oh no. I know what you are going to say next." Kara denied, "No you don't. You are a real gentleman. I like you and I think we should take more steps to build our relationship." Kyle now felt relieved and started talking about everything that came to his mind. They were having a good time, laughing and holding hands. Kara couldn't stop smiling. For the first time in years, she opened up to someone romantically. She prevented herself of being exposed to that kind of pain again. However, she was still human and her body and mind desired things which she could only suppress to a limit. She failed to realize that by restricting herself from a future, she was trapping herself in the past. Moving on would not happen overnight, but slowly and gradually she was able to make some space in her heart. As she removed the pain from inside, she slowly began to feel joy again. Love penetrated easily. Each daunting memory that she removed from her heart made more space for the love to enter. Kyle was able to make that space in her heart, and honestly, they both deserved it. They were held back by their memories for too long, and it was time to start their lives all over again, with each other.